You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about the 1922 vampire classic, Nosferatu, a symphony of horror.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
You know, I'm okay. The mosquitoes are really bad December for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird. And they like bite two at a time next to each other. It's kind of strange.
Right? I guess they always come in pairs in the South. I don't know. Anyway, we also have with us... Director of Photography, Mike Griggs.
Brian, I'm going below. If I'm not back in 10 minutes, wait longer.
...
He should have typed it
what,
out.
What am I going to do? We all want to know. And we also have with us costume designer, Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, here we are talking the 1922 German expressionist horror film... Sure
that it's a horror film?
You know.
Yeah.
Sure, right? Yeah.
It's
just
a
like
vampire
calling
movie.
Special
it's
effects.
Horror.
Yeah, they're special. Sure.
People getting bit. There's blood. There's people dying.
There's disappearing acts.
Yeah, man. Supernatural shit going on.
Germans just straight up plagiarizing Bram Stoker's Dracula without giving him credit as well. Look at this. Happened as early as 1922. We're stealing.
Hey, man.
Good
story is a good story.
The names and the setting. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, the names have been changed, but the stories are someone else's.
Oh. Even though they mentioned Transylvania in the toward the end somewhere, I remember.
The land of thieves.
The other places were changed.
All right. This is the first silent film we've talked about. Did you guys get through this?
It just instantly shows me how terrible my attention span is.
Oh my God,
I have
yes.
been
oh
struggling
God, yes.
to finish this fucking film, and you know, which is kind of crazy because it's very familiar. I've seen many films that are like it, but this one is the one we're doing now. And yeah, dude, what a fucking struggle. But to make it interesting, I kept flipping between different versions to kind of see what the differences are, because there's many different versions and many different things.
Which versions
going
were
on.
You flipping through? Because I know that Amazon has one. That's where I watched it on, and it's Nosferatu in color. It's like hand painted on that shit.
Ooh,
and then
you watched that?
Yeah.
I did not watch that.
I did not want
that,
to, but that was the only
score.
That was the only version that I could find. The other version I found was on Plex, and it was like a lower quality version, and it was still sort of like colored.
It's tinted. Yeah.
Tinted, but not colored, and it was weird.
Okay, so
I couldn't find that version.
This
That's
is
the one
public.
You wanna...
Yes,
okay. This is public domain. You can find it on YouTube. It's really good quality.
Didn't think about
YouTube.
That.
Yeah,
actually, because really... there it was on a streaming service here, but it was in the original German and subtitled in French, and so luckily YouTube came through for me. Wow. And actually, the version on YouTube was better than what was on the streaming service here.
Mm. Yeah, there was some low bitrate shit. I'm like, there's no reason to have this. Like, why is it so low quality? Even like the sound, some of the sound of like the horns and some of the tinnier parts of the orchestra was like really, really compressed.
So
early MP3s compressed. It was bad.
On Tubi, there's a separate version. It's called the 100-year version. It's solid black and white, no color, none of the tinting or anything.
That's what I fucking
and
wanted.
It has a score that has a woman singing in it.
Oh.
That's different. And that was bugging me. And then, and also all of its like cards and stuff, all the title card stuff were really amended. They were very short because I would watch the same scenes in the in color version and you were getting more information on the slides, like more story, just more like extraneous.
Oh,
like,
all those transitional title cards. Wow, Rich. Interesting. Wow.
Very interesting. I was getting different things. And also, but the image was better on the full black and white one. But I think the score was better on the color one. And I know that there's one that actually has the real score and all the things and the tinted and all that. And I didn't see it in the time that I had to watch it.
I mean, isn't the score not completed, though? Like, that's why the score is different, right? Because from the original, the score, we don't have the original... the full-length original score?
They have most of it. They've had to fill in a couple of gaps. From my understanding, it's around 10 to 12 minutes somewhere, maybe 20, somewhere in that ballpark. So most of it is there. Of course, it's you know, it was put together from like the actual composition, music composition.
Oh, okay, so they have the composition. They didn't have the recorded score that's missing.
They had some of it. Oh, well, there was never a recorded score. Like, this was played... with a live orchestra at the time when it premiered in Berlin or wherever. I forget where the premiere was.
So the German one that I started to watch, that had like the cards were had green on them. Did you guys see
Yeah,
that?
Some of them. Yeah.
I thought it was so ugly. And also,
I love that. So
when I switched over to the YouTube one, it was everything was in black and white, and it was so much cleaner for me, and also in English. So I like that. Because what I was doing was I was like, I didn't know. I thought there'd just be a few. So I would take a picture of the German cards and translate them. And then after, like,
oh,
I don't
no
know,
way.
10 of them, I was like, okay, this is this.
Oh,
I need to find this in English. This is too much.
Holy shit. Extra homework. Yeah. You'd be learning German by the end.
Well, I thought I didn't know how many there were. I didn't know it was going to be like every like minute there was more information. I thought it would be more like, here's, you know, set the scene and then like we'll do the scene, not like dialogue and stuff.
It's called some a dialogue. Silent film. I didn't know there'd be all this reading.
Yeah, what was that? What was going on there?
Going this back in time to
first,
read our movies.
Silent film that I've gone completely through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
like watched
come
as
on.
As a movie and sat down.
Battleship Potomac. Everyone has to watch that in film school. Come on, everybody.
Nope, didn't see it.
Nope,
no,
never seen it.
I think my first silent film was Triplets of Belleville. Have you guys ever seen that?
No.
That's a recent one. It came out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
But it's silent. Yes,
yeah,
it does.
All right.
Yes,
that's like
does.
That's like saying, oh, yeah, I saw The Artist. Okay. No, that doesn't count.
It's still a silent film that you still have to have attention to sit
artist.
Through.
No, we're talking about like with the filmmaking styles from like the teens and 20s. Like that's the chore to sit through. Like you can sit through a silent movie. Like the beginning of WALL-E's pretty
length?
Silent, but I mean, that's not a chore
I thought
to
that,
sit through.
Is it not? Okay.
Damn.
Wow.
Kristen.
Damn.
For WALL-E? No, I couldn't like that.
Kristen doesn't like having her heartstrings pulled on.
Yeah, she's like,
well, obviously.
You cleaned up my emotions with all that trash.
Holy honestly, shit. I actually haven't seen the whole movie because I think it's so boring. I
fuck
turn it off.
Yo.
What are we even doing here right now?
Right,
let's
week,
go
we're
fucking
doing
watch WALL-E.
We're not.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Shut up.
I just didn't know WALL-E shade was going to be thrown out like that. Episode.
What next thing you're going to tell me is you didn't cry during Up.
Oh, wait, like with the whole montage of his, like...
The opening montage?
No, that's sad. Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right.
Okay, she's not completely cold.
Yeah, she's got a heart.
Right? She still has a heart.
Just for, like, people, not robots.
Amazing. No, Jared, I think this is also my first silent film. I can't think of another one.
Really? You guys didn't have to watch Birth of a Nation? Intolerance. No. You don't have to watch The General with Buster Keaton. Modern Times.
I have wanted to watch The General with Buster Keaton, but I have never actually gotten around to it.
Really? None of the Chaplin stuff? None of it?
I mean, okay, all right, Chaplin stuff. Yeah. I remember seeing pieces of some of them. Like,
yeah, I don't think
TV.
I've ever sat down and watched the whole one. You know?
Yeah, not like a start to finish. Let's put this on and watch it situation.
If I did, I slept through most of it. Apparently, I find silent films apparently very soothing and very easy to sleep through.
Very comforting experience.
Like, you know, instead of watching Bob Ross at night, I think I'm just going to turn on the silent film channel and let it lull me straight into sleep.
They have another word for that. It's called radio.
Well, radio is talking. This is just like, you know, like
no, turn on the classical music station and just listen to.
Yeah, radio. But then I get lost in the. You're listening to NPR. Tonight we're gonna.
Tonight on all things considered with Abby Cornish, we're going to.
I did like the overture in the beginning. Come on, that was good.
I didn't get the overture. I actually found out later there was an overture. I didn't watch the right one, which pisses me off.
Oh yeah,
how do you know it's the right one though?
If it's got the Kino Classics logo in the front, that's the right one.
Yeah, it did not have.
That's the one where it's got the most restored elements, as far as I could find.
Okay. I don't think that's what Amazon had.
It was on. It was on AMC Plus.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
I did the 7-day free trial. There you go.
I think I already burned that one for a different movie that we watched, and I can't remember what it was.
What else am I going to watch on Amazon? Anyway, yeah.
On AMC, you're not going to dive into AMC, those new Walking Dead spinoffs? Hell yeah, bro.
No, I'm not. I'm just going to wait for 28 years later and get my zombie fill that way.
Yes.
This is the way.
Yep.
I was very shocked at how put together this was. You know, in my head, I'm like, oh, old film. Film hasn't been around very long. You know, the storytelling in it is actually shockingly well done.
I'm glad you said that because I had the exact same experience. I did not expect this to have as much cinematic language as it had.
Yes.
There were shots and answer shots that I was like, wait, that is normally supposed to mean this. Are they actually trying to say that? And I had to like rewind it and be like, yes, they are actually trying to say that. They're intending and it's working. Like, holy shit.
I think
go ahead.
I was going to say, I kind of had a similar experience, and I think it's really interesting how, I don't know if this is our default state, but we kind of look back at things that are old and go, oh, well, we know so much more than them. And it turns out we don't. and I know people are still doing it today because there was people have been talking about this on Twitter where they're rediscovering 90s movies and how they're actually good.
Oh,
and, and so I feel like I was like, this ties in perfectly with what I'm doing this week.
Amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's just the worst of it is the dialogue. It's so hammy. You know what I mean? It just felt like...
Wait, are you talking about when they're mouthing dialogue or like the inner titles and the way they're written?
The inner titles. And it feels like the inner titles are more of a suggestion of what this is all about, but it's still written like dialogue.
Well, sometimes it is dialogue.
But it's just so bad.
Well, sometimes they had both. They had both dialogue and they also, I thought it was neat how they also distinguished the narration to set the scene and they also distinguished when they were reading from the book and it's a passage.
Oh, yeah.
Book,
yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so in your version, did it show like an image of the book or was it just black screen?
It looked like a little
still?
Page type thing.
Yeah, it looked like a ripped page. Yeah.
And
in
the tinted one, every time it was a book, that's when it had the green background on the titles.
Oh, in the German one that I watched, and I don't know if it's the original German one. I think they were all. Hold on, let me see.
So you know, there's no original German print of this that exists.
No, I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. That's why I said I don't know if it's the original or not.
Well,
see, I got this like crazy color too.
Oh, cool.
Oh, whoa.
So I'm assuming it's not original since there's color to it.
Yeah, it's like a turquoise kind of cyan.
Yeah. It was I got irritated with it pretty quickly.
I can't read that.
Well, no, but also the color, I think, was a little jarring. Oh, but actually, sort of on the dialogue, I would get irritated when they would mouth the dialogue, and then I would be like, oh, what's going on? And then there's nothing to explain it, and I'm like,
yes.
Hey, wait, is that important?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, seems like there's more going on, and then they cut, and it's like, I love you. Yeah, like, okay, cool. That's the gist of what just happened here.
I mean, yeah, that's the gist.
I honestly expected more of that. Like, I thought there was going to be a little bit more, like, of them just, like, doing shit, and then, like, every now and then you'd get a line or two. So, like, the fact that there was as little of that as there was surprising to me.
Right. And then also the, remember the scene where they're like, holy shit, this guy wants to buy this house, you know? And then they like sit there and laugh at each other for like, you know, 5 minutes.
Oh, are we not still doing the evil laugh? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of it's just really big, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty funny too, because they're like, hey, look, get me to buy that house. And then they cut to house, and it's like piece of shit, already looks like it's haunted already.
Yeah, but it's massive, so that's kind of cool,
I guess.
To sell them that property.
Here goes a giant pile of wood. We'll call it a house. Fuck, no. Oh, my God. Oh, they're laughing in the corner. That's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of overacting in this, and I was wondering, like, is that... was that just the style of things back then? Because they came from like stage plays, and everything is super over the top, and they haven't quite found like, we can dial this down.
There's also no dialogue, so they are playing it up for that reason too. I knew that they would be overacting. I was expecting that. And so actually, based on sort of clips I've seen from other things and also caricatures, I didn't think it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, actually. There were a couple of scenes that were, but
for the most part,
I was like, oh, it's okay. They're doing pretty good here.
Most of the stuff with the wife felt like reasonable. There were some of her like, oh, I'm supposed to be bewitched or whatever, was a little weird, but like
big eyes.
Dude, her fucking eyes, like her.
Her eyes were crazy, and they were, but like in a good
her
way, like
curls right beside them too. But like the way it would frame
perfect
her face.
Curls. She wakes up in the middle of the night and they're just still perfectly curled. Like what?
Her face freaks.
Where
me
do
out.
We find your hairstylist?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, share the secrets.
But like the main character, dude, what's his name?
Hutter.
There was like two different reactions that he had that like felt like they came out of nowhere. One of them specifically was when he was with the Count, and something kind of happens, and all of a sudden he just freaks the fuck out, and like
he gets bit, and he gets his finger sucked.
Yeah.
Off.
He puts his fucking finger
what
in
are you
his
talking
mouth,
about?
Man.
He cuts his finger with a fucking knife while he's cutting some bread, and the dude jumps up out of his chair. It's like, nom, 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 nom.
No,
he's like, normal reaction.
With his fucking rat teeth.
he does look like a rodent.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
I was wondering, I was watching and wondering if Nosferatu's hands grew during this, because when he first appears... and he picks something up. He picks it up in a way that I'm like, oh, he's doing something with his hand. Like there's something on his hands, and that's why he can't pick it up normally. And but I was looking at his hands during that scene, and I was like, he could just have like long fingernails. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be something strange. He had normal sized hands, but then by the end of it, he had these like giant claws that were like coming down off of his hand. And I was like, yeah, okay. So there's definitely something going on there, but I definitely did not think they were that large when we first started. Were you guys paying attention to his hands at all?
They got bigger as it went.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think there's
even... and also he walks around like this.
Oh yeah,
I think they're using a prosthetic,
his dinosaur claws
that they're putting on his hand, so he can't like move them in those shots, and it appears bigger.
Okay,
versus makeup in the other ones.
When he shows up to his new house and he's like crossing the river on his boat, and he's got his hands displayed, I think that's because he's controlling the boat with his fingers. So I think that he's like, you know, casting spells and shit with him at all times. So he's kind of always in like forward finger mode. You know.
Yeah, I also got that impression that he's trying to use the Force or whatever.
Yeah, he's totally using the Force.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that. When I was rewatching that, like, just when the door opened, like, I was just waiting for somebody to be on the other side. It's like, all right, nobody's on the other side. Oh, okay, there he comes walking in. Wait, did the door just open by itself? Oh, he's got magic powers. That's right.
But he can't open the door to his new house, so he apparates through it.
Yeah, that's right. He just dissolves right into
blink.
It.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Invited in? Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
I don't think you have to be invited into your own house, right?
Well, does the house know that it's his? Like, does he need to be invited into all of the houses?
Wait, the house needs to know? No, just the owner needs to know, right?
I don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, who makes the rules about the house? Like,
a vampire. You won't let a vampire in, so he goes and buys your house. He's like, give me a minute.
Do you have the title to this property?
I don't think that's addressed in this movie. I think that's a lore from some other versions of vampires later in the years, like that, because no one else like can stop him from coming in. Like he just that's why he goes across to all of Europe or whatever, like bringing the plague.
Okay, so he just doesn't have the keys to the house yet.
I guess maybe, or he just doesn't like doors.
Yeah, they change a lot about the vampire mythology in this movie, like. Count Orlok's not going around making other vampires. Like, he bites people, they dead. Drink all their blood, they dead.
Also, this is the first movie where the sunlight kills him, right? Because before, in Dracula...
Which doesn't make any sense.
No, the sunlight just makes him weak.
What doesn't make sense? What are you talking
he's
about?
In the sunlight the whole fucking movie.
And then he gets killed
by sunlight at the end? What the what?
They just can't film at night here. I thought it was...
But see, this is why you needed to watch the tinted version, okay? The tinted version, all those scenes were blue.
I flipped between. There is a fucking shot of him on top of the, he's walking on the deck of the fucking boat. And in the colored version, you can see the clouds and the blue sky and all that. And then you have,
why are you watching some colored version? That was done by some intern. Like I'm in just the saying, 60s, he's out, bro. Like he was probably tripping off of LSD, and he was like, "Bro, the vampire's out in the—he's out in the daylight. Look at the pretty."
He's carrying his fucking 1,200-pound damn coffin around the city, just like it's nothing. He's the strongest dude alive. That's that thin. It's full of dirt, Brian. How is he carrying this coffin like that?
He is like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is just like the beginning of Commando. I was laughing my ass off in those scenes.
He's carrying a fucking tree trunk. Yeah. Like, it's that heavy, yes.
And I love how he's like waddling around like a little old man.
Well, it's full of rats and dirt.
I also loved how they like sped up those spots where he's like carrying stuff. They just like undercrank it. So he's hella fast. I'm like, this is fucking brilliant. They're doing this shit in 1922, 21, whenever they actually shot it.
But it's so like, funny because it makes him look like a South Park character. Like the
There's a shot where they're in a, there's a horse and buggy, and it does like that little fast. It does a little turnaround.
Yeah, the ghost one when he first walks up to the property. Yeah.
Yeah, all the stop motion-y stuff. When he's getting off of the ship, you know, you see things like unravel themselves and open and all that stuff. It makes it feel creepy, which is really cool.
Yeah, most of them I laughed at. Some of them are hold up pretty well. Like him rising out of the coffin.
It's good.
Yeah, that's still pretty good.
Big hands forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all the shadow stuff I think still plays.
The shadow stuff was great, man. Yeah, those were some of my favorite visuals.
He holds his hands like Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands holds his hands like Nosferatu.
Yes, that's what I realized in this. It's very like, you know, big hands forward. Yeah.
What if he had scissors for hands?
Yeah.
Tim Burton, definitely a fan of this movie, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to the story, basic storytelling, I was impressed with like how this movie was like intercutting scenes back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I had a whole note about that. I also was really impressed by it.
Yeah, especially when, like, the dude gets bit the second time and Helen's, like, in the bed and she's or Ellen, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Yeah, she's has, like, the vision and she goes out and walks in the balcony and how that's intercut with the guy getting bit.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Same thing with the ship. Like, he's on Orlok's on the ship, coming to Germany, and I guess he's Hutter's riding horseback, or is he riding horseback? I didn't understand
really how he gets back. Really,
yeah. His insert.
I also was confused by that. Yeah,
like he's walking the horse most of the time, and then there's this moment where he is in the back of a stagecoach, and the stagecoach pulls over, and he gets out. It looks like he's gonna start to drive it, and then he's like, "No," and he just walks off frame. What the fuck
was
that?
Hitchhiking? I don't know.
Yeah, it felt like he was hitchhiking. Yeah,
yeah, but why did the driver leave? That just made no sense to me at all. I was like, "Is that like Orlok trying to like from afar?" He's like, I don't know, has some spell over this
influencing
driver,
influencing people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have other shots of Orlok influencing people in the city. Like he's supposed to be influencing Nock. He's supposed to be influencing the wife or whatever.
He can throw his like powers like across distances and control things somehow. He can cast a shadow of death or whatever. And it's weird that they both got there at the same time. You know, they both arrived at the city at the same time.
Kevin Orlok just got that. Oh, he got there to the door first. Oh.
God damn it.
I'll just go disappear through this wall.
And then stare out the window and wave.
He's got both hands up. He's like, That's so funny. She's like, look, I have to look at this shit every day. And there's this motherfucker like peeping
in
the window.
And you can see him in the fucking window, dude. I love that shot.
Yep. You should be like, hey, what are you doing over there?
Are we ready for a trailer?
Sure.
All right.
Which trailer?
I'm going to play the Kino Classic remastered trailer. I think it's from 2013. I believe. I'm not 100% sure. I'll double check on that. I know it doesn't have any VO, and obviously it doesn't have any dialogue. So maybe we'll get somebody to like narrate it while we watch it.
In a world.
Mike's hired. Here's the trailer for F. Murau's Nosferatu.
He is coming. The master is coming. Nosferatu. Newly mastered in high definition.
All right, we're back. That was a trailer for F.W. Murnau's. Murnau's, whatever his fucking name is. Anyway, Nosferatu.
That's a video
Nosferatu.
Horror.
Nosferatu.
I like the tinting. I didn't get to see that version.
Yeah, the tinting was nice.
It definitely helps with the day and day for night.
It does. Yeah. And look, there's even a moment where a character like blows out a candle and they tint it from like a yellow. And when the candle goes out, it goes to that blue green. I was like, you know what?
It's fucking, cutting edge.
Yeah. Fucking rock and roll. That's awesome. I thought it was cool. And they did pink, too, to represent like sunset and sunrise.
Oh, the golden hour.
I guess it was
that tinting would have helped my modern brain viewing experience to understand a little bit more about which time of day was supposed to be what's happening, because it was all kind of the same sort of long shadows, looked like it was full sunlight, but like you can't really tell. But there was like one or two shots that seemed like they were actually like darker nighttime with like, you know, lights, and you could tell like, oh, this is a light that has been put on the situation. So that also kind of made my brain even more confused to which time of day things were supposed to be.
Yeah, I think I was trying to figure it out because I didn't realize it wasn't nighttime until somebody said that it's midnight and they were tired. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That was one of the moments also that I was like, wait, what?
But I think when it's like really bright and washed out, like I think that's when it's like nighttime. I don't know. By the end of it, I was like, oh, I've got this time thing figured out, but I could still be like way off. I don't know.
And then they show the rooster and you were like, oh, wait, it's morning? Oh.
You mean the cock.
Before the first cock crows.
Yeah, the first time that popped up on the thing, they were like, before the first cock. And I was like, I'm sorry, what kind of movie are we watching?
Yeah.
Well,
if the woman is innocent and appeals to him through the blood and he forgets the first cock, wait. Yeah. Was there more to this title card? I'm so confused.
So that makes me, like, why is she pure? Like, has she not had her first cock? I mean, I don't, why? So if
they don't explain
this. If he drinks the blood of a pure woman, then when sunlight hits him, he dies, I guess.
I think that's kind of maybe the implication. Well, because,
yeah, they don't say a virgin.
I was confused because it. Yeah, they don't specify what pure means, so there could be any number of things. I think that's us putting our modern spin on it.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with virginity. I think
because they're already married.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are other ways to be pure. And also, this movie, you know, I mean, it could also be that, I'm just thinking of this now, that because there's a lot of anti-Semitism allegedly in this movie, and so maybe
that's
her purity.
Oh. Wow. I did notice on the papers that he sends over, there's a swastika written on them.
Well, that's part of the occult symbols also.
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird language symbol things.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's digging through this like paper, and there's a
and as all of
middle, my swastika.
Questionably right-wing friends like to say the swastika is a Hindu symbol.
Okay, but has been repurposed.
Yeah, so it's an older symbol than it was. Yeah.
No, I literally took a photograph of like a fucking swastika at a World War II place, and they were like, "How dare you say that?" And I was like, "Sir,
sir,
okay. sir." Yeah, I don't know. It's not just the letters too. There's a lot of little subtle things throughout the movie, like. All the foreigners, and by foreigners, I mean all the people that aren't from Germany, have weird facial hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Nock, who's the one guy from Germany that does also have weird hair, right? They keep saying, like, there's all these rumors about him, and he's really good with pain, people.
He's good with numbers.
It's like, oh, okay, that's not super subtle.
Well, and also, I mean, Nosferatu has some Jewish features, like especially that, like his nose,
right?
Which, like not necessarily Jewish, but stereotypical.
Well, yeah,
Jewish,
of I cartoon mean, right? depiction, yeah, of the time, absolutely, yeah. And then, like at the time, comparing Jews to rats, right? And then, what is he bringing over?
And they're bringing, there's a lot of immigration
disease.
At the time, and exactly what are these people bringing, and how are they corrupting our cities? But I did see, of course, you had somebody who was like, oh, but this actor, you know, loves Jews, and so this is all unconsciously done. It's not actually anti-Semitic, is what the official stance is.
You know, I was reading that as well, and I saw the director's homosexual, too, so a lot of people pointed that out. It's like, well, you know... Even though Germany was progressive, that was still like not out in the open thing.
You can have two minorities that don't get along. Like the
oh yeah, yeah. Just
that is true. That is true.
No, that cancels each other out. Yeah, no. Yeah.
God damn it, Jared. Hate is hate.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
There we go. That's what we wanted.
Fuck off.
Bring it back to language I can understand. Yeah, no, there's a lot of that in the movie, and I don't know. Is that just like we know about where Germany was going after this, and
I think some of it, maybe, probably.
Or is it there? I don't know.
I mean,
I think it's there. And maybe this is just the beginnings of it, but I don't know because I'm actually reading a book that is in the region set. I mean, it's in Austria, which is, you know, kind of, in the region. And it's a good 30 to 50 years before this. And there's already a lot of anti-Semitism in it, because when the Jews were coming in, they had money and they were able to just kind of like buy their way into the upper class. Mm. And a lot of people resented them for that.
Mm.
And yes, they did in this, traditionally speaking, get along with the homosexual community, the artist community, but that doesn't mean that everyone got, I mean, listen, that doesn't mean anything.
Hitler was a painter.
Oh my God.
And a vegetarian. So,
wait, the craziest thing about this book is that it is a true story. And yeah, they keep pointing out all of the people that were in Vienna. And Hitler was one of them. He was going to art school at this point in time. Wow. That I'm reading. So,
wow.
So is Mark Twain, apparently. And the book is about one of Gustav Klimt's models, socialite models. So,
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
But yeah, so there's already at this point, which is way before this movie takes place, anti-Semitism brewing.
Well, yeah, like we see the results of World War II and all the things of what Germany did, or what happened in Germany, I should say. But that was like 10 years, 15 years later from this movie. So it's not surprising at all to see those earlier seeds, those earlier versions of that stuff trying to be worked out and trying to be expressed like in this movie. I think that's one of the interesting things about watching something from a time is you can see, oh, well, this is what the context around it was happening, and this is what people thought about stuff, and that's why we can understand certain implications.
It does seem like a lot of silent films, though. It's just like the main takeaway message is like, man, foreigners, don't let them into your country and breed with your women. Oh, my God. The whole country is going to go to shit.
I think we're still having that conversation right now in a
100%.
Lot of places.
Yeah, that's not new. That's not new.
I think this is just a conversation that happens.
I don't think our cinema right now is like reinforcing that majority view like in the United States. Like, Birth of a Nation, that was like a huge hit, like that played across, and that was seen by everyone, you know. That's just, that blows my mind, that part of it.
Yeah, that horribly racist propaganda, for sure.
Yeah, that's just like so out in the open and accepted and taught and part of life.
Well, I think that's what's interesting about art in general is the ways that it either like goes along with or fights against popular opinions or popular concepts of normalcy, and that's one of the things I love the most about cinema right now, and the movies that are being made is more voices getting to actually have perspectives that we see, right? Like, so these horribly racist propagandist types of films still happen every now and then, but it's way, way more rare, and we get to actually see like other people's views. So it's really interesting to see this from 100 years later and how things have changed and also stayed the fucking same.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the great things about America is that we have seen large waves of immigrants our entire history. And we have also seen them assimilate and know that everything's going to be fine. And I think there has been a huge push in America to accept immigrants and foreigners and to say, hey, we used to be really racist, let's stop doing that. And I can tell you, having been to many different countries and meeting people from way more countries, that is not the message that everyone else is getting. I think that is a very distinctly American message.
Let's stop doing that?
Yeah, that we need to be accepting. That is not something that I encounter in most places, actually.
Fascinating.
Isn't it? Yes.
Well, to be fair, I think a lot of those people in Europe would also be like, well, you live on fucking North American, bloody separated from all these other places. Go fuck yourself. So,
I love that,
you know.
The Australians have moved into Europe.
Shut up, Griggs, all right? God damn it. Once you do an Australian accent, can you get it out of your fucking mouth and head? No, you can't. It's impossible. Once you go tangerine, you don't go back.
It's okay. We can just use Australians as the voice of the world. It's fine.
They're the voice of the world.
What was the budget, Brian?
Oh, go fuck yourself, Jared.
It was seven.
Seven whole dollars.
Who the fuck knows the answer to that question?
So, unless you have more to say on the budget, are you done?
No, that's it. That was okay. Done. We can move on.
That was it. That was the thing.
Okay, but so can we talk a little bit about, I guess I'm asking, this movie... is a ripoff of Dracula, right? And then they were sued, and then they burned most of the copies of this movie. What happened with that?
Yeah, that's what Stoker's widow wanted. Just like
to burn it?
Destroy this fucking movie.
Can you request that in court?
At that time, apparently you could.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's what they did. That's why there's not like a... all right, so the subtitles that exist today, those are survived from a transfer from an English. So like the subtitles were in German. Then they were translated, right, to English in the 20s. And... those survived, and those were translated back into German for the 50s or 60s, whenever that got reshown. So who knows what, I mean, was actually written in these intertitles. Nobody really knows. The original German, I don't think, even exists at all anywhere.
I was wondering if they were... It did seem, when I was reading it, that it seemed like somebody was writing in that style and not that it was authentic to that style. Or to that time period, I mean. Especially the way they use that, like, ridiculous script.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's really heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, kind of illegible in several moments.
Like, yeah. It felt like an intern was, like, going to have fun with it, and that everyone else was like, yeah, this works. We like it.
Why is the entire PowerPoint in Comic Sans?
Apparently, his wife, Stoker's wife, would show up to screenings later in life and demand to have it shut down.
Damn. So this was like the first major instance of plagiarism like this, where a book got turned into a movie and not actually credited the original source, maybe?
It's the first one I can think of.
Holy fuck, man.
Wait, was this, was this like wildly popular, or how is she having the time and the money to show up at all the places?
All three showings, she was like, fuck you.
Well, yeah, was it three showings, or like, was this like really popular?
Well, no, the studio that, the German studio that funded this film, they shut down after this was released.
Damn.
Due to this, you know, not making profit because Stoker's widow.
That's what you get.
Got him to shut everything down. Burn the prints.
Burn the prints is fucking wild. Not like, hey, give me the proceeds, but like, you can't have this at all.
Well, you know, I was actually reading this F.W. Murrow. His films, like, only 12 of the 19 have survived.
Wow.
Like, the rest of them are lost to time. They've only found, like, little bits of stuff here and there, and that's it.
So those who say film is forever when properly stored.
Yeah.
But I was actually thinking about that because I was like, God, like, how would we like prevent that from happening? And of course my first thought is like, you know, hard drive backup, all of that. But then like those fail, like that could easily still happen. What movie was it that, Toy Story or something where they accidentally deleted it and somebody working from home had it on her hard drive?
Oh yes. Yes,
yeah.
That is Toy Story, and she was pregnant and working from home. Like, she wasn't supposed to be, but she had a backup there. And
wasn't supposed to be.
Well, it was. Yeah, she's not supposed to be like working from home, but like they were like, obviously, you should just work from home. Like, but she had a whole ass version of the, because it was like the early 90s, so like that was a lot of fucking storage. That's really expensive.
Massive.
Like
it was. At that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that she had the backup copy is pretty fucking amazing in the first place. But there's storage options that work besides hard drives that don't fail. Like there's things like LTO tape is pretty long term and doesn't degrade while sitting on a shelf.
Was it Lord of the Rings that was a master on an iPod that got left and lost?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I have no memory of this place.
I mean, you can store things, but I mean, like, you know. In times of war and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's fucking paintings that have been around for, like, hundreds of years and that get lost because of
moving. Why do you think we lost those German films? Because of fucking war. The same reason we lost, like, almost all of Japanese cinema, like, you know, before the bombs. I mean, almost all that stuff's gone.
Yeah, yep. So the point is nothing lasts forever. We don't have better technology now. It can fail.
Things last forever if we can shoot them into space, but then how do we get it back?
And what if they
and
set
we
an
still
EMP
have to have
and...
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But yeah, we have to have the technology when it comes back. Listen.
Yeah, you have to not only save the storage medium, you have to save the technology to play said storage on.
I mean, as soon as I found out that the internet is a cord in the ocean, I was like, we're fucked, man. Like, nothing is going to last ever.
It's a cord in the ocean. You know, I like that. I like that, right?
I mean, yeah, and oversimplified terms, that's not entirely wrong.
That's correct, is what you're saying. Yes, I know.
Ma, you dropped your extension cord in the bathtub.
Yeah, yeah. I just love the image of like sharks chewing on a cable at the bottom of the sea. Like,
oh my god,
they're
about
to fuck up the internet.
Wasn't it like, was it Russia or China or somebody was like trying to cut our internet cord like they caught a few years ago?
Oh my god, let's just cut this one connection and then the rest of it's fucked. Like, well, there's more connections, but okay.
Technically, there's like what, like 8 or 20? There's like not very many.
Everything we know as society and reality is just a construct that we've cobbled together.
We can wake up tomorrow and everything is gone.
The entirety of humanity is 3 days of eating away from fucking total pandemonium.
That's why we got to preserve film. See?
Exactly.
We'll all be watching movies instead of killing and murdering each other.
And 28 years later, we'll still be watching these movies.
The only crop that matters is corn. So we can have the popped variety. It's delicious.
I just hope that when people are watching all of our old films, they all have different scores and different tints to the color. different languages.
Oh my god, you got the YouTube version? I found the Vimeo version.
Whatever, dude. Like, whatever the new form of like entertainment will be, they'll be like, oh yeah, you take your old movies and now they're in 5D.
Yeah, but also look at the color of the water in Jaws. How many times has that changed to blue, you know, throughout all the iterations?
Can you imagine like like fucking Christopher Nolan movies and like someone finds it and it's like built for social media 9x16 and like the image slides around in the middle of the fucking shot.
Bring back pan and scan.
Or where someone cut it up for TikTok and so everything is like 2-minute clips. Like
it's just like little bullshit clips. Yeah.
Man, Nolan works best in 2 minutes. God.
Oh, you just really feel it when it's at that length.
Yeah.
Are these the conversations they're going to be having in a fucking 100 years from now?
Yes, 100%. Yes. Enjoy the present moment. Don't worry about making something that lasts.
As long as one person sees it the way I intended, that's all that matters.
All right, I feel like we're totally at ratings now.
I mean, we're derailed, Brian. Yes.
Clearly.
No, we've had a beautiful meta conversation about filmmaking and art and humanity.
This is
very
relevant, actually. Yeah.
This is my favorite shit. This is what I come here for.
Kristen, what did you think of Count Orloff's attire?
I thought it worked. I was actually noticing his hands in the trailer. They definitely changed size.
Yeah, they
100% do. Yeah.
The only thing that really stood out to me as far as like the wardrobe stuff was the
stupid hat.
Hutter's weird blousey kind of coats that he wore.
I liked that. And actually, I really noticed, especially when he's getting dressed, and I was like, God, that just like looks high quality.
Oh, yeah. That's a good word for it. Yeah.
There is nothing that we have that wouldn't cost hundreds of dollars today. it looked really nice. I just wanted to like touch it.
He had a lot of pleats and stuff in his things. Like I said, they would kind of be like tight and then blouse out and things. It's pretty interesting.
It was, I thought it was all really nicely made and constructed. It would have been nice to see it in its original color. I'm sure it looked really nice. I'm sure it was very colorful also. But yeah, like the patterns and all of the cuts and everything I thought were really great. And the hair I thought was really great. I didn't notice until you just pointed out that all of the foreigners had the wild unkempt hair. But I enjoyed the wild unkempt hair. I thought that gave them more interest.
Interest.
Yeah, I did actually.
When he shows up to that inn, like 12 minutes into the movie, and they show like the innkeeper bartender dude, I was like, what is on his face?
Oh yeah, there were some of them that were ridiculous.
But like I was like, oh, it's a mustache. But yes, like literally the first like 8 seconds he's on screen, I'm like, what the fuck is on his face?
So that
Foreigner,
is
man. Gotta have weird facial hair.
So some of the weird facial hair I enjoyed, but others it just looked like somebody like glued it on badly.
Yeah, like real bad. Like, I was like, is there something stuck on the film stock? Is it like, is there something on my fucking TV? What's going on here? What is in his face?
But yeah, it was, I guess I was going to say considering what they're working with, but I don't know what they're working with. I don't know if this was good or bad at the time. Looking at it now, there's definitely room for a lot of improvement, but you know, it works. I generally understood what they were going for, which was, you know, wild hair means crazy person, you know, or foreigner in this case.
They definitely did that with Nock. Yeah. His hair was crazy. His eyebrows were crazy. His fat suit was bonkers.
Oh, yeah. Some of the fat suits, some of the prosthetics that they used were, not good. Yeah. They could have been better. And some of them, I feel like there were a couple of scenes where I was like, oh, this is kind of working. And then they would do like a profile. And I was like, nope, that is definitely not working.
Don't shoot me from the side. What? We're going to shoot you from the side.
Yeah, Count Orlok's makeup definitely works the best straight on.
Yeah.
There's a close-up toward the end where he's, like, looking up and you can actually see his, like, bald cap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
And did they try to make it look like it was a scar or something?
Yeah, that was the worst prosthetic shot of the whole movie.
I didn't like that. Yeah, his nose looks really bizarre, too. Like, his, I don't know, like, they had a different nose on him and it was, like, super exaggerated, or it could have just been an angle.
No, I think it was very exaggerated. Yeah, I noticed that also.
Yeah, I didn't like that shot either.
There were a lot of angles that I didn't expect in this. Like, a lot of people looking away from camera. Maybe it's because there was so much, like, overacting that I felt like it was very stage play kind of style. Mm-hmm. So I expected everyone to always be playing to camera. So every time someone was, like, looking away from camera, and not even like in a two shot where it's like an over, it's literally just like, oh, we're gonna be behind you, or like kind of two, you know, three quarters looking at your neck. There's just a lot of people not looking at camera. Strange.
Yeah, when Ellen's on that beach with those crosses, which is fucking badass, by the way, and she gets the letter, and she's like, she reads it and she gets distraught and she goes and runs off, and the other two people that are caretakers are just, they turn around and watch her. And we're just staring at their backs, and it's like, and they're going to go run after her, and Iris in, done. And it was just, okay, all right.
We're just watching people watching something that we can't really see a lot in this movie.
Why would you bury people in the sand next to the beach?
Yeah, were those indications of like someone died here, and so we're like representing their grave? Or
I was hoping they were just memorials, because if those are if there are bodies there, they're not going to stay buried for very long.
No, they're going to move very quickly.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, "Damn, how many people like have been swept away in the currents? Like, don't go swimming there, Jesus."
She's just waiting to be taken away.
It's all people that have drowned at that beach.
Shit. Here she was at her favorite beach, where everyone else has walked into the ocean and said, fuck this life.
We keep putting the high tide signs on. Can these people not read?
Stop swimming.
But it was a cool visual.
It was. It looked great. I also liked all the shots in like the mountain passes, like when there was like carriages and stuff going, like they fucking walked that camera some places and like found some interesting angles and then just like let it roll. I think one of my favorite shots in the whole movie, and it's so ridiculous, but it was like just this random like farm, and there's the building on the kind of the middle side of the screen, and there's like stuff going on, and then there's like this tiny little like piece of the road with like a fence, and after like 8 seconds of staring at this farm, the carriage goes through this tiny little piece of the frame, and it's like, was this whole shot just to see that one little piece of the carriage? Yeah. Amazing. Like, perfect.
I wonder if like people were like, oh, because we've lost so much of this footage, we should just run this uncut and, you know, make it a 89 minute.
Oh, they extended it just film. To fucking
there needed to be more editing in this. And I'm wondering if that was done on purpose because they needed it to be full length and to preserve, you know,
no,
maybe that's why they didn't have enough score.
No, look, you know, they're learning filmmaking techniques, you know?
Please, no. Come on. Let's give them more credit than that.
I mean, okay, yeah. No, I want to give them more credit than that because, totally like, there's enough, like, cross-cutting things in this that are, like, actually some pretty brilliant sort of moments where you're trying to directly associate Count Orlok is doing some shit and this person is responding to him and they're in totally different places really far away. Like, that's some serious cinematic language that we still use today. So, like, there's too much of that in this movie for me to give a complete pass to the times where it's like, why are we sitting on this shot where literally nothing is happening?
Yeah, but
still
no,
nothing is happening. Still nothing's happening. Oh, there's – okay, cool.
You can see like the – like every time they cut in for a close-up, you can see them like not understand how to cut on action yet. They don't get it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
That is not part of their cinematic language. They haven't discovered that. They haven't found it. It's not written yet. And it's sloppy. It's every time they cut in for a close-up, it's like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. Yeah. It's very jarring to watch.
We're in close-up. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's still awesome. I mean, like, they just haven't developed that yet. I mean, film has only existed for, like boy, are people making stories with this? We're talking about, like, less than 20 years.
Yes. There are definitely things that they are still figuring out and still learning and still experimenting with. But I think I agree more with Mike in the sense that they know how to edit and they know, like, I don't think editing is what they're
storytelling. Yeah, they're figuring out the picture flow, you know, like I can put this picture here and show the audience this and then I have a title card that says, and at that very moment, and then I can cut to this thing over here and then the audience will put this together. But that's a revolutionary thing for that concept. You have to realize that, like, this is like 20 years away from motherfuckers fleeing out of a goddamn auditorium because they were shown a shot of a train entering a station and they were like, oh my God, we're all gonna die! We're all gonna get struck by a train! And they left the theater. And it's like, what? And that sounds ridiculous to us, and I have a hard time even believing that. But that's the reality of the situation. Like, it was so new. Only 20 years? Come on. We haven't gotten the language. Like what was the close-up was like, what? Was that like 1902 was the – what was the Great Train Robbery? That's the first close-up that was ever put on film. That's the first time somebody ever thought, you know what? I can move the camera in and just frame one actor. That had never been fucking done before.
Hold on. Blasphemy. When did they start making films, though? Because – like,
you're talking about, like, the Lumiere brothers are literally shooting like Nickelodeons, and that's just like shooting things that are normally happening. That's not storytelling. That's like, you know, somebody making a hot dog, and it's just one shot. There's a train pulling in and unloading.
B-roll. You just shot B-roll.
Yeah, but I mean,
the word is documentary.
Yeah, there's a shot. There's a shot in this one with the carriage, and it feels like it's on like. We're seeing a negative of it, or infrared or something. There's a weirdness to it.
It's with the ghost carriage after he gets picked up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it definitely looks like it inverts into a negative. Yes. I saw that. I was like, was that like a weird processing thing with like the color transfer stuff and them trying to do that? Or is that like original to what they were attempting? Maybe that's just the way that portion of the film, now that we know like it's been, you know, destroyed and shit, maybe that's the only version that they had of that was a positive that got turned in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's definitely inverted.
No one fixed it something.
Yeah, 1903, the Great Train Robbery, first close-up in cinema history.
Incredible. Wait, what year?
1903.
19 years before that.
03, okay.
Yeah,
this came out in 22.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, putting things in that perspective, kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's really, really fucking crazy to think that, like, we're in 24.
Yeah, that's like the difference between Gladiator
and Gladiator
2. What happened
in 2013? Yeah. Like, fucking Christ. Like, that's less difference, actually.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Because that was like, that's 24 years. So, yeah.
God, the ways that technology changes, the ways that our understanding of cinematic language.
And the Great Train Robbery was a whopping 12 minutes long. Anyway, yeah. Crazy stuff. Are we at ratings? Anybody got anything else?
Everyone's silent, so I'm going to say it's ratings time. All right. Who's going first? Who is rating?
Sorry, we were just trying to go after the way the movie went. I'm not going to go first because I don't know what to fucking give this movie.
What are you talking about, Mike? This movie's a fucking 10, obviously, because it's the best silent film that I've ever seen because it's the only silent film that I've ever seen.
My rating system is broken.
My rating system is broken. Yes. Hey, man, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of what people think of Dracula on film, and I enjoyed watching it, man. I love all the shadow stuff. The shadow stuff is fucking incredible. You know, for the time, and just I'm just so blown away with how cohesive this is, being you know an early film.
That's a good word for it.
Yes. 10 out of 10. We'll watch again. And hopefully the right version next time.
Okay. I think I was actually really impressed with this movie. I enjoyed it a lot. And there were some things that I would change, like the editing. And I'd make it much tighter. And I don't even think you need to change that much. But like even just making it like a 75-minute film would be much nicer, I think. But yeah, and of course there's overacting, but I was expecting that. That was the style. I was very generally impressed by just kind of the vibes of the film. It's a bit haunting. The score, whatever I listened to, was really great. It kind of sucked me in. It kept me interested. I was surprised by my missing dialogue, by which I mean there was no dialogue. They were just mouthing things, and I really wanted to know more information. And I was caught up in it. I was invested, and there are definitely some issues with it. But in terms of this movie, I would say it's definitely a classic for a reason. I will give it. Ooh, yeah, you're right. It is really hard to rate. I'll give it an 8.5.
8.5. All right, 10 and 8.5. Greg's going next. Going last.
Oh, I'll go next. Yeah, this movie was both impressive in ways that I did not expect and disappointing in ways that I should have anticipated. I think there were a lot of visuals in this movie that I was like, wow, like that's not a thing that for some reason I was like, oh, it's 1920. They have like a giant fucking camera. So when I saw them having like, oh, they hiked that shit up a mountain and like shot down to shoot like this, you know, horse driving by or whatever. It's like, oh, that's like pretty impressive because they probably took like three people to carry that camera into the middle of the woods or whatever. It's not that big of a deal like today, but like back then, maybe it was probably a big deal. So some of those kinds of things were interesting. I really liked the cross-cutting moments. I found to be storytelling like really, really impressive in, again, a ways that I should have anticipated but didn't expect. Some of the overacting kind of took me out of it a little bit. It's understandable for the time, but it still was like hard to watch. Some of the I guess I'll call it makeup work, because most of like the hair and the mustaches and like the face stuff like felt really like just heavy handed and cheap is probably the word that I want to use. And I can't tell if it was like, well, you won't be able to tell because of the way the film works, or if they were just like, no, this is the amount of budget and time that we have, or if that was just like, well, we're used to doing it like this for stage, and so that's how we do it. So, but one way or another, like however they wanted it to be, it didn't work for the film, and that's one of the more telling moments of or things. For a fucking 100-year-old movie, the fact that I'm like, oh, the makeup doesn't hold up. Like, you know what I'm like? I'm nitpicking here. This is a pretty impressive storytelling venture. Like, I was more entertained than I expected to be, despite my modern sensibilities of attention spans. There was plenty of times where I was like, oh my God, I'm so bored. There were a lot of impressive shots. I thought, like, the chase of it through the town with when Nock like escapes the prison and like the townspeople are like chasing him down the street and then he's like up on the fucking roof and shit like that. Like I was really enjoying, you know, moments like that. I'm like kind of impressed that it cut together so well. There's some great things about this movie, and I think the fact that we're watching it 100 years later and still talking about it, like, there's a lot to be said for having seen this. It doesn't hold up to my modern sensibilities because it's not intended to. It's 100 years old. It's still a pretty good fucking movie. I liked it more than I thought I would, but not as much as I think it should be for the sake of how well regarded it is. I don't know. I'm going to come in at a 9. Yeah, it's really fucking solid, man. I'm glad to have finally experienced a proper silent movie.
Man, all right, 9. I'm going to come in at 10. You have to come in at 10. It's classic. When you've been ripped off this many times, you still have influence 100 years later. Fucking classic. You're a classic. You're a classic. I don't know. Guys, here goes the question. You know, this is where I start. Would you guys suggest this to a modern audience?
Depends on the
right
context of the
modern audience.
Yeah.
All right. So outside of film buffs, I mean, would you recommend it to anybody outside of?
Yeah, right? Like especially if it was like a Halloween night, or I was thinking like you know how it's really popular where they bring in the live orchestras to.
That would be badass.
Oh yeah, those are super fun.
I think that would be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, that would be badass.
This would be a great movie to have on in the background of a party too. Yeah.
Yeah, in the background of a party.
Because you can experience the entirety of the movie without having to actually like bother anything.
Yeah. I mean, would I release it nationwide in cinemas? Probably not. But I think there is definitely a modern audience for this, yes.
But it would clean up at every rave. Yeah, 10. Jared?
One of the silent era's most influential masterpieces, Nosferatu's eerie gothic feel, and a chilling performance from Max Schreck as the vampire, set the template for horror films that followed. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Nosferatu with a 97% tomato meter and an 87% popcorn meter.
Wow.
Really? Man, only fucking film nerd motherfuckers are watching this shit then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. I guess that's to be expected, right?
Yeah.
Trying to find a bad review.
Why do you think people wouldn't like it?
It's slow.
I mean, when I talk to people about 2001, which has talking in it, you know, and more modern special effects,
so
people are
boring.
Like, that, no, right?
No, that pacing is way slower than this movie.
Oh, yeah. No,
you fucking lost your mind.
I was bored out of my fucking mind with 2001.
Yeah.
Here you go, Mike.
I was more entertained by this than I was by 2001, and I don't fucking feel bad saying that.
Nosferatu earns its place in cinematic archives, but its accessibility to modern viewers is surely all but lost.
Well, I disagree with that.
Accessibility is a poor choice of words in that sense, and all but lost is a little bit...
It's a pretty good bad review, though. I wish I got bad reviews like that. Shit, I'd take that. Yeah, let's do it. Can't complain about that. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or X, Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Check the Gate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we'll close out with some of the score. We'll probably play a little bit of the overture. Obviously, there was not a soundtrack. I couldn't find a soundtrack. So we'll just play the overture because there's, you know, not going to be any talking in any part of the movie. Not to worry about dialogue.
In a world with no talking, the silent killer kills the most.
All these people would rule in the quiet place. All I got to say.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
They'd all survive. Be the boringest movie ever.
Except for that orchestra following them around.
Dude, the orchestra only followed around the clock and the rooster. Anytime they were on screen, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I got to stop this.